couple of weeks ago on a Saturday night, I preached on the topic of blessing. And we had kind of a two-part thing going. We talked about the ending of the speaking of curses and judgments. Now, I began to share a little bit about this last Sunday, but I want to finish the idea this morning. I want to talk to you about it in a greater depth, because frankly, last week, when we announced revival, that was it. I couldn't talk about anything else. But we have the reality of darkness on one hand, and then we have the reality of light on the other. In the very beginning of all things, in the creation, it says in Genesis chapter 1 that there was darkness that was over the deep. The word deep there is the word that we use when we're talking about the oceans, when we're talking about the depths of the oceans, like the darkness. And it's interesting because God goes, there is darkness. The description of in the beginning is that there is a darkness. Now, the word for darkness is the word for chaos. It is the word for the void of light, obviously. But it's not the absence of light. There's a presence of something. It's chaos. There is no order. There is no structure. It's darkness. And the darkness was hovering over the deep. And then the contrasting statement is, but the breath of God, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the waters. The word for waters there is the same word that's used through the rest of the scripture to describe springs, rivers, a cistern you can drink from, fresh water. That there was a breath of God over fresh water, and there was a darkness or a void, a chaos, an unstructure, the void of light over the depths or the oceans, or what you would see later on is the flow of salt water. Now, I'm just going to use, to simplify, when we talk about this, salt water and fresh water. The breath of God was over the fresh water, and there was a chaos over the salt water. In the context of what James would say in the New Testament writings, in his letter, he would say that, my brethren, it's not permittable, it's not okay that both salt water and fresh water come out of the same spring. That fresh water that speaks and blesses God, and salt water which curses man, who's made in his image, that these things should not come out of the same vessel. That when we speak curses, when we declare judgments, when we release limiting words, when we speak what I would call death, something that hinders, something that prevents, something that limits someone's life, when we speak words that injure people and keep them from stepping into the fullness, that we are using our words to sow into, to seed into the atmosphere that is covering them. The way that darkness covered the deep and the way that the breath of God covered the waters, the way that darkness covered the salt water and the way that the breath of God covers the fresh water, I'd like to propose to you today that when we speak, we are creating atmospheres over people. That the power of life and death really exists in your tongue. That you have the power to be like your God. That we were made in his image. And in the very beginning, when it says we're made in his likeness, when he spoke, it was. He would speak and creation would happen. I'd like to propose to you today that your words are creating realities. That this isn't just about affecting someone's psyche. That you're actually seeding, you're sowing into the atmospheres that exist over people. That it's very possible, according to Proverbs 11:11, that those who are evil or those who are speaking or acting in a wicked way could speak curses over a city and have it be brought down. And that the upright, the righteous, those who are walking in alignment with heaven could speak blessing and have a city exalted. That the atmosphere is not just over an individual, like a little child who I you know, you could tell a child, you did that wrong, you were bad at that, and you could limit with your words. When you speak those words to a child, you watch their face fall. That same expression, that's not just affecting their countenance, that's actually creating a reality. It's giving permission for darkness to dwell over them. That when you speak these kinds of things over people, or when you speak these things into people's atmospheres, that you are actually, with the authority that rests on your life, giving permission for that darkness to dwell over that. When we talk about cities, you know, places that we think of maybe as, you know, seedy, or, you know, it's a dark place, like I wouldn't go to that part of town at night. When you start talking like that, that you are actually declaring realities, and I'm telling you that there's a mark of God on your life that is assigning angelic activity. The sign of God on your life is declaring to the angelic world, these are prayers and prophecies that we are supposed to carry out. That the authority that rests on your life when you are declaring dark things is actually giving permission to dark powers to have their way in places. Are you alive today? But the opposite. This is a truth, but there is a greater truth. This is a truth that darkness can be affected, that a curse could pass from three or four generations, that the sins of the father could carry on, that there is an effect generationally, that something could start in one generation, that a negative effect could be passed on three or four generations. It's a truth. However, there is a greater truth. The greater truth is this, that the power of blessing, that the power of you declaring the good news, of you declaring blessing, assigning, like taking a bullseye and putting it upon a target, that you, with your words, can assign the blessings from heaven. And that blessing, the Lord says, would carry out to the thousandth generation. That there is a nature to the limiting power of words, that it can bring destruction, but there is a greater truth that the blessing of the Lord can pass on from generation to generation to a thousand generations. That there is greater power in speaking life than there is in speaking death. That yes, you and I as believers need to stop speaking salt water. But that if we would learn how to bless, we would see the effects of heaven invading earth in ways that you just never thought were even possible. That if we could curve our tongues, you would see heaven invade circumstances like you haven't thought possible. If you would begin to bless something, it'll change. There is a truth that it's possible for you to limit and to control with your words, to destroy, to keep something from becoming something else. But there's a greater reality that when we speak life, when we speak blessing, that we can watch a transformation happen, a metamorphosis of a child grow into a champion for God. That yes, it's possible that a broken upbringing could limit a child's expression, but isn't it interesting how when Jesus meets a person, how he can redeem everything that was broken in one moment, and Jesus can release his father's blessing over a life, and they go from a broken person who had no future all of a sudden to a champion who can affect eternity. Can you see the power, the difference in these powers? One is a reality, but the other is a greater reality. The other is a greater reality. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you have a Bible, you're welcome to turn there. I want to highlight something for you. The nation of Israel was coming out of the wilderness, and they had received the commandments of God. And God instructed that the nation of Israel would walk between two mountains. And on the top of one mountain, there would be people declaring the results if they would break the covenant. If they disobeyed God, these would be the curses that would come upon them. This is a reality. Okay, hey, if you walk in sin and brokenness and these things, that there is a permission that darkness has to have over your life. And it's happening by your choices. That if you choose to walk in these forms of wickedness, that consequences come. Has anyone ever learned this lesson before? Okay, there is curses being uttered from one mountaintop, but on the other mountaintop, they are announcing the blessings that will happen upon Israel if they'll walk in the ways of God. And these blessings are being shouted. Now, what I want to highlight for you today is the category of blessing. I want you to see what happens in a life when the blessing of God is assigned over them. Okay, are you ready for that this morning? Okay, how many could just, it would be possible for you to stand it. You know, you would permit it if your life would get better today. I mean, you could stand it, you tolerate it, right? If things in this moment changed for the rest of your life. This is the good news of Jesus, that he took upon the cross every curse, every form of darkness, and he canceled that debt, that you don't have to live under that shadow. That it is possible for your life to come into an alignment where the blessing comes upon it. We're going to declare some blessings today, and I'm telling you, your life is going to change. You might as well write this date down in your little calendar book, because this is a day where things are going to shift for you. Okay, the first category of blessing, exaltation. Exaltation. You get lifted up. Your circumstances change to where you were in a lower place and you are now promoted. There is a promotion that comes in the kingdom. That the Lord's blessing on your life actually will move you from a level of glory. Look, you're awesome already. Would you tell your neighbor? Just point at him and go, hey, you know, you're awesome. Okay, you're awesome. Okay, there is a level of glory. You're already a pretty cool person. Okay, but how many know there is a greater glory? Okay, so now just look back at him and say, but you're getting more awesomer. I understand that's not a proper sentence. All the English people are, you know, you're getting more awesomer, Dave. Hey, it's okay. I'm a Packers fan. Okay. Proper English is not required. Listen, when the blessing of the Lord comes on your life, you will move from glory to glory. You will. It's going to happen. Your life will begin to be lifted out of whatever pit you were in. If it's good already, can I just tell you that you have not even perceived, you have not conceived, you have not even thought about all that he has planned for you. There is a greater measure that is supposed to come on your life. Now, how many in here, you're already like, it's already so good, I can barely stand it. Like, things are good. Things are good. Okay, can I tell you that the reason the Lord blessed Abraham was so he would be a blessing. That Abraham was already blessed. But he took him from wealthy to exceedingly wealthy. Because God isn't, he's in the business of bringing up his vessels, he's bringing them not from underneath to on top. He's wanting to move you out of obscurity into influence, because this is the call of God on your life, to be an influence. I've talked to many people that are trying to hold intention, this an attitude of piousness and almost like a vow to poverty, as if this is of kingdom value, that we should be poor. Trying to hold that in tension with the reality that the Father is trying to bless them. They want to be a blessing. They want to help people. They want to see good done. They have a heart that's full of this, not realizing that their own mentality is actually keeping them from embracing the blessings that the Lord is trying to bring them into. That it's possible for a mindset to be set in a way that self-sabotages. The blessing of the Lord breaks that stuff off of you. You don't need to self-sabotage. It's actually okay that he's making you more awesome than you already are. Amen, Pastor Jamie. That was an excellent point right there. Okay, he's exalting you. Okay, the second category of blessing is health, divine health. Okay, I love healing. I do. I like miracles. I like laying hands on people and releasing health and seeing God invade a circumstance where they get healed. I love that. That's awesome. How many have had this happen for you? You've either been healed or you prayed for someone, God's touched them and healed them. Yeah, all over the place here. Okay, it's pretty cool, yeah? Okay, I love that. Do you know what's better than healing? Not getting sick. I love the miracle. I do. I love the miracle. You know, it's got to be in the top 10 list of my favorite things to watch cancer dissolve off of someone's body. Awesome. You know? Awesome. Have someone's leg grow out in front of you. Pretty cool. It's right up there. You know, have the Lord do a creative miracle where he grows something that wasn't there before. It's there. You know, we have friends that where the Lord literally dissolved a bolt that was on the plate of his head, dissolved the bolt out. Interestingly enough, left the plate, but dissolved the bolt. You know, I guess God just didn't want him to look funny in pictures, you know? Like, I don't know. You explain it to me. I don't know. I love it, though. I love divine healing. But what I like better is the blessing where health takes over, where there's a life flow from heaven that comes into our mortal flesh, where sickness no longer is even, it can't even get near the camp. Listen, the Israelites lived under this blessing in the wilderness where none of them fell to illness. Divine health. We have a mindset, my children, if anyone gets sick, they come immediately either to get prayed for by us or they pray for one another. This is the mindset, like healing. Boom. This is normal in our home, right? Like, you get a tummy ache, daddy prays for you, it goes away. Awesome. Like, this is okay. I like better when I never have to pray that prayer. I like better embracing the reality of divine health. Okay, so somebody come into agreement with me this morning and just think, you know, agree with me when I say flu season is just a bad idea. Wouldn't it be better just not to align under that word curse? But it's a reality. Well, you can live under that reality if you want. Been a long time since our family has suffered from that. Been a long time because we're living under the blessing. It's his. It's his grace. It's not something that we do. It's him. Divine health. Pretty awesome benefit there. Okay, this one my wife and I have down. The Keens have down. Reproductiveness. Reproductiveness. This is a blessing from the Lord. It is. It's a blessing from the Lord. It is a blessing from God to see what he has done in one generation passed on to the next generation. This may sound just like natural, like family planning. I'm not talking about family planning. I'm talking about this reality, that when God does a work in you and you utilize this, when you live by faith, when you do the will of God, there is reward in heaven. Do you know this? But did you also know that when you do a work of God, when God uses you and it touches another life, and then that person takes what you've done in their life and then they touch another life, and then that work touches another life and another life and another life and another life, that the reward and the inheritance that you will find in heaven won't just be for your original work, but you have gained interest off of the investment you made in people, and then what they did with it, the gain that they made, you have a percentage waiting for you. You thought banking was from the devil. It's not. God invented all this. Okay? This is, now think about this. What happens, there's no greater privilege than stewarding children. There isn't. There's no group of people that you will have a bigger impact on. There's no group of people that you have a big... This impact on parenting, this impact is the greatest impact you will have in your life, right here. However, when the blessing of the Lord comes, he is producing reproductiveness. It is this blessing from God, that children are a gift from God. So to see the work that he's done in your life passed on to another generation through your life, this is a demonstration of the very blessing of God. This is not by accident. This was not by the choice of men. Children are a gift from God. Are you with me today? Now, reproductiveness, can that happen through spiritual adoption? Can you love on people? Can you sow into people's life? Absolutely, but this principle is real. The blessing of God is what gives you that authority, that release, where you are blessed so you can be a blessing now. So it's passed on to other people. Result of blessing, reproductiveness. The fourth benefit here. You ready for this one? The fourth benefit, prosperity. You will be prosperous. What you do will work. What you put your hands to will work. Okay, prosperity, we're not just talking about, you know, business dealings and you make money. That's not the issue here. The issue is that you put your hands to something and the Lord, he makes you prosperous. What you work, it will succeed. What you work on will succeed. The work of your hands will not fail. Samuel was prosperous in the word of the Lord, in that none of his words were allowed to fall to the ground without being carried out. He was prosperous in his speaking, in his prophesying. God wants to prosper you. He's blessing the work of Christ Jesus and the blessing of what he has provided. That blessing is to make your life so it's not, so you're not stuck in a lack of success. You are supposed to be successful. It's supposed to come out of your life. Now, there's going to be varying degrees. Come on. When we're talking about you being successful, we're not talking about dollars in a bank account. We're talking about when you work and your labor would produce. Now, not everybody does the same thing. And so not, like, God's not a communist. He's not a socialist. Free market economy in heaven. What you sow, you will reap. Are you, hello? Are you all right? Blessing of the Lord, that you'd be prosperous. That you'd be prosperous. That you would be prosperous. Okay, another category, victory. Victory. That you'd be victorious. That every time you step into the ring, whatever thing you're facing, the blessing of God has already predetermined you're going to win. Whatever you're facing in life, whatever the enemy throws your way, whatever life throws your way, whatever relationships throw your way, you're going to win. Okay? You are a winner. You're a winner. About a third of you believe me this morning. You are a winner. Now, I made the mistake the last 2 weeks using the example of the blessing of the upright being aimed at Detroit. Now, the reason I say it was a mistake is because the Packers played Detroit. For multiple days, I had been blessing and declaring this victorious spirit over the city of Detroit, that would come up and be risen up to victory and all this stuff, okay? You gotta be careful where you aim that thing, all right? Victory. It is a result of the blessing of the Lord. Okay? The blessing of the Lord. And last category we'll talk about right now, and then we'll move on. But last category of blessing, the things that happen in blessing is that God's favor comes on you. Now, when the countenance, the Proverbs talk about how the countenance of the king, it basically declares life or death for you. You come into the king's presence, he's ticked at you. Doesn't work. Right? You do not want to anger a king. Okay? In you don't want to find yourself an enemy of a great authority like that in the earth, right? Now, we don't have kings here, but, you know, it goes without thing. There's this kind of understanding, like, you don't tick off people in authority. You know, the person you want to pick a fight with, probably not your manager. Okay, could be why you're having a problem right now. That was too close to home this morning. Okay. The favor of God, the countenance of God, his face being towards you, the light of the countenance of his eyes resting on you, his favor towards you actually causes your life to be elevated. His favor opens doors for you that you would never be able to open yourself. Never. Not with all the labor that you ever could put. You could not create the opportunities that God's favor can. You're not going to be able to figure out a way to influence that person, but God's favor puts you sitting next to him on an airplane. You have no idea. You know, God causes his favor, his countenance to be towards you, and you just happen to be at work, and you're sitting at a computer, and an email comes across you, and you happen to be the one who responds to it, and you didn't even realize that it was sent to you by accident. But because you responded to it, the promotion comes to you because the door was open through his favor. You didn't recognize it. You didn't realize it. By the way, God's favor often comes through unusual circumstances. Ask Joseph if he was planning on getting out of prison and becoming the second in command of all of Egypt. God's favor was very unusual when it fell upon Joseph's life. He interprets a dream, and next thing you know, he's made commander of all. God's favor will open a door for you that you could not work your way into the opportunities and the situations you'll find yourself in just because his face is towards you. Come on, would you just say to yourself this morning, his face is towards me. His face is towards you. Now, this is the fun part. This is where, okay, we recognize here is this work of blessing. How many would like some of this happening on your life on a regular basis? Yes, okay? We've been accused. You guys are just a bless me club. Yes. Yes. You're just a bless me. You declare blessing over that. Yeah, doesn't that feel inappropriate? No. No, it doesn't. I know that the Father's favor is towards us, and I also know the power of declaring the blessing. I know that what Jesus has paid for has moved me out of the curse and into alignment with a Father of heavenly lights where every good and perfect gift is there for me. I know this. I know that I'm his favorite kid. I do. I know that I'm his favorite kid. I am his favorite. Now, can you say the same about yourself? Okay, let me tell you, if you're like arguing with me right now, no, you're not his favorite kid. How dare you say that? Like, don't you know that we're supposed to be humble? Okay, let me tell you something about the Lord's favor, his love, his countenance towards you. When you recognize that he loves you, that he favors you, you will think you're the greatest. This is what happened when Jesus would get 10 feet away from the 12 disciples, what would they begin to argue about? Who's the greatest? Who do you think convinced them that they were the greatest? He convinced them. His presence, his favor towards them convinced them that they were the greatest. Every one of them thought it. That's why they were fighting over it. No, I'm his favorite. No, I'm his favorite. Oh, yeah? I'm telling my mother. Mom, come over here. Jesus, talk to my mom. Would you please let him sit at the left and the right? Now, the power of being a favored child, a favored son. There is an authority that rests upon your life. That the scriptures say that when, this principle, that when I show my favor, my countenance towards somebody, that I am so favored that God's favor would come upon their life. That God's favor can be assigned to a person through the blessing. This happens time and time again in the scriptures. Whether it's a father who lays his hands on a child, a son, or whether the blessing is spoken through a brother. In fact, the four ways that in the Old Testament that blessing, that this blessing is released, is the first one is that God himself, divine revelation, releases the blessing over someone. God himself. So could you, as an individual, as a daughter, a son of God, be having a quiet time and have God speak to you and declare something to you, declare a blessing over your life, and have that blessing become a reality? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're not needing the confirmation of man. If your father, if your daddy wants to give you a gift, he can. That's the way it is in our household. That's the way it is. Their siblings have nothing to say about it. If daddy takes one of the daughters out or the son out, right, I'm going to go run an errand and they come with me. If I so choose to fill their pockets full of candy once we reach the checkout. It is the prerogative of a father. Okay, can I just tell you that my blessing towards my individual, the child that is standing there, is not a reflection of whether I love or don't love the ones at home. Don't get yourself in that trap. As a dad, I have the right to bless my children. Can I just tell you that as a saint of God Most High, as a son or daughter, you also have the right. You are an heir to the throne. You have the seal of his ring that when you go to the marketplace and you buy something with dad's charge card, it's purchased. That the blessing of the Lord that Jesus, your older brother, has purchased for you is yours to steward. That his blessing is on your life and you can release it over people. The power of the blessing. Life and death is in your tongue. Just depends on how you want to use it. Those who love it will eat its fruit. When you declare blessing over somebody, it is like painting a bullseye on their back. You are assigning to their life that the angels of heaven should begin to ordain their days to walk in that blessing. When you declare blessing, you are marking people for the, you're making them a target. When you speak life, you are making them a target for the breath of God to hover over them. When you speak curses, you're making them a target for darkness to hover over them. When you limit with your words, when you judge with your words, when you curse with your words, you are choosing what kind of environment you want that person to live under. We have freedom from that in Christ, and we have the power now to declare blessing where, when we speak, it assigns. Now, I had an encounter with God this week. Can I tell you about it? I have the microphone, so if you would have answered no, it probably wouldn't have mattered at this point, I guess. But I had this encounter with the Lord this week. I was meditating on these things, and I saw the result of my words. He showed me this picture. I saw the result of my words. When I would speak, and you're gonna get the metaphor, it goes all the way through the scriptures. When I would speak blessing, there would be the breath of God that would come over people. The wind of heaven would be cultivated over them. When I would bless, it was like I was assigning heaven's breeze, God's breath, to breathe on them. When I would bless, it was an assignment. It's an angelic assignment. It's like I am declaring over someone, this one is to be redeemed. I would bless with my tongue, and the wind of heaven would begin to come over them, and God's blessing would come, but angels would begin to minister to them, begin to set them free. Atmosphere shifting over them, changing their circumstances. The scripture says that angels' assignment is to align people's pathways for good works. It's to align people's pathways. They work on behalf of those who are inheriting salvation. Their job is to work on the behalf of God's kingdom for your life. When you release blessing, you are assigning the wind of heaven over people. When you release mercy, you are assigning the very fire of God to consume that which hinders people. His fire is a jealous fire that people seeing God's fire as if it's a judgment thing. Yes, he's judging, but not you. He's judging sin. He's judging works of the devil. The eyes of Jesus are lit up with fire in the revelation of Christ. It says that his eyes are burning with fire. Can I tell you why his eyes are burning with fire? Not because he's angry. It's because his vision sees your life in a pure manner. He sees you through the result of the refiner's fire. That's how he sees people. When you release mercy, when you move in the ministry of reconciliation that you've been given, you are not to hold people's trespasses against them, but you are to reconcile them to God with your words. When you declare mercy, you are assigning angels to minister the very fire of God over people. You got a child who's backslidden? Awesome. Bless them and release mercy over them. Bless them, release mercy over them. Don't retain their sins. Release them from them. What kind of atmosphere do you want hanging out over them? Do you want it to be the wind of heaven and the fire of heaven, or would you like it to be chaos? Up to you. Up to you. That's good. That's good. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10? Now, in the Old Testament, God would give blessing through revelation himself. He'd do it. The second way that he would do it is he had the Levites, the priesthood, God gave them an official blessing to be declaring over the people of Israel. That this blessing was the blessing they lived under in the wilderness. No sickness, no disease, nothing's wearing out. They're living under the prosperity of heaven, victory, all these things. The Levites, the priests, would declare this blessing, and they were supposed to declare the blessing as if the Heavenly Father is declaring it over them. Okay, it's the same blessing I release after every service. You know, I have my own version of it, you know, use my own words, but it's the same blessing. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Think about this. In the Old Testament, God himself would bless, and that person would be blessed, or God used the priests to release the blessing. In the New Testament, can God himself give you the blessing? You bet. Absolutely. Or priests could release it over you. Who are the priests in the New Covenant? Come on. Raise your hand if you're an Usam today. We have become a royal priesthood. We are the priests. Who has the authority to release the blessing? We do. We do. The third way that in the Old Testament that the Father, that God would release blessing over people is he would do it through fathers. Through fathers. He would do it through fathers. The passing on from the generational inheritance of what God has done in one person's life and in their generation to be able to pass it on to the next generation, that a dad could lay hands on a son and release a generational blessing and it would change the outcome of that son's life. It's a real thing. In the Old Testament, we saw fathers laying hands on their children and that blessing would be passed on. Awesome privilege. Awesome privilege. Can I just tell you though, that when Jesus was ministering here, he did nothing unless he saw the Father doing it. He spoke nothing unless he heard the Father say it. He was the exact representation of his Father. Jesus was ministering as the Father here on planet Earth to the people. Jesus was releasing in the ministry of a father the blessing and the results of the kingdom. You and I, as sons and daughters of God Most High, the ministry that we are to model our life after is Jesus. Now, who did Jesus model his life after? The Father. Can I just tell you that you are supposed to be modeling your life in ministry after your Father. And that blessing that rests on a father rests on you. You have permission, beyond permission. We're supposed to be adopting the world unto our family. So you and I can stand, not just as a priest to bring sin, you know, the removal of sin, but us as someone standing in the Heavenly Father's place have permission to adopt someone into the family. You prove it every time you lead someone to Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, come into my life. You just adopted somebody into the, you had permission to take the Father's blessing and put it on someone's life. How amazing is that? Amazing. It's also the privilege of us as dads and moms to lay hands on our own children and to pass the blessing. This is a heritage that you have authority to. I'll just give you a picture in our own home. Every single night, it's my duty as dad. Unless I'm not there, every single night, I tuck the kids in. I tuck the kids in. And the reason I tuck the kids in is because every single night, the last thing that I do to them is I lay hands on each of them and I bless them. This is what they go to sleep with. I release the blessing of the Lord over their life. There are certain things that I will bless for certain children because I recognize that that's what God's doing in their life. I bless them every single time. It is my privilege as a father to bless the generation that is coming out of me. It is your privilege as parents to bless the generation that's coming out of you. If you are past the childbearing years and you now have grandchildren, can I tell you that it is your privilege as a grandparent to still bless your kids? Come on, a lot of us are going to see people at Thanksgiving. Dads, moms, do not miss this opportunity. Grab them kids, squeeze their cheeks. We must have fattened you up, huh? And bless them. Look them in the eyeball and release the blessing that's on your life to them. Say it with your words. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't let another moment pass you by. If you got a kid sitting somewhere in here, I don't care if you're sitting on opposite sides because they don't want to be seen with you. Listen, grab a hold of them this afternoon. You love on them. Hug them, kiss them in public. Get your arms around and bless them. Do not let this moment pass you by. All the teenagers are like, oh my. Yes. Can I tell you, they might be like, Dad, don't do that in public, you know, like, they might have that reaction, but I can tell you their insides are screaming, yes, please. Every one of us. When I'm talking right now, some of you are grieved because that was never an experience with your own earthly parents. Maybe it's been too late. Can I tell you that it's not too late in the body of Christ because every person around you is able to minister in the ministry of the Father. That spiritual fathers and mothers, that this is a real thing. In the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit can do a work in you. He can bring healing. He'll bring healing. You'll find it here in the body. Last way that blessing is released in the Old Testament is through prophetic words. That we can actually release a prophetic word that would assign the blessing of the Lord over someone's life. And how many know in here that we have authority, not just authority, but we have a commission from heaven to be declaring, releasing the word of the Lord over people. I've talked about it before. Can you imagine that if we chose, okay, we're going to be a people like fresh water here. Amen? Yeah, I've been criticized. You never talk about what's going wrong in the world. Come on, are you just out of touch with reality? No, actually, I'm in touch with reality. The problem is that I am not going to highlight the darkness because I'm not interested in what hovers over it. I'm not ignorant to the times. I'm not ignorant. I just know that the solution to the times doesn't exist in the conversation that's hovered over by darkness. You are not going to find your solution in talking to people about how bad it is out there. The solution isn't here. The solution is in the kingdom, and the kingdom ain't here. It's over here. It's over here. How long is darkness going to last? Till you stand up. Pastor Jamie, you're just too darn positive. Amen. You're just a bless me club. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna end with this. What did Jesus model and tell us to bless? This is what I'm going to end with today. What did he model and what did he tell us to bless? Some of you know where I'm going with this. This is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. But I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus' answer to darkness was not to try to cast out darkness. Jesus' answer was to manifest the kingdom. Jesus' answer for you who are being cursed, when people hate you and mistreat you, his answer for you, the response, is that you would mount up as a son of God, as a daughter of God, in all the dignity and splendor of the glory of the King of Kings, that you would shine like the heavens themselves, that you, in this mantle of authority, as a dignified dignitary, that you have authority, and what you would do in return is you would bless them. You would not stoop down to a level that is far beneath the dignity of a king. Because that is not how kings behave. We bless. We have an inheritance and a wealth beyond imagination. We have resources beyond imagination. This world has no power over us. What is the response to those who curse? We declare blessing. The second thing that Jesus modeled in blessing is found in a little story where there's a crowd of people around him and they've gone off into a remote place and Jesus has been teaching all day and people are getting hungry. And Jesus calls one of the disciples over and he says, you know, the disciple says, hey, the people are going to faint on the way back. Like, okay, that's hungry. I've walked some places, taken some walks. You know, I've been hungry. I don't know if I've ever been in fear of like, hey, I'm going to pass out and die. Okay? You think I preach long times. Least I'm not doing it like off in the woods and making us all go out there, right? And Jesus is preaching such a long time. This experience is an all-day thing. And people are going to faint. And Jesus says to them, well, then you get something for them. You feed them. Right? You feed him. Philip goes, do you really want us to go to the money purse and go buy bread for people? He's clarifying the question. It's not a mocking question. He's clarifying. He's saying, do you really want us to go spend that much money? Now, he wouldn't ask the question if they didn't have the resources. They did. They had the resources. They could reach into their purse and go buy the food for them. But what does Jesus do? Okay, this is what I want you to see this morning. When you have a need, okay, when you have a need, rise up. Our propensity, especially as rich Americans, is to reach into our own resources to try to solve the need. But what Jesus models is he says, well, what do you have? Well, we have these loaves and these fishes. He brings it to them. He thanks God for what we have, and then he blesses it. In the blessing, there's always enough. In the blessing, there is always enough. I don't know if you're as happy as I mean you to be right now. When you bless, it will always be enough. And beyond just the provision of it, listen, beyond just the provision of it, in the blessing, it overcomes the curse. What you put your faith in is going to determine the outcome. What you put your faith in is going to determine the outcome. What you bless, it will be blessed. What you curse, will be cursed. Do you want to determine the health benefits of your food by the limitations that you have declared on that label or upon, you know, whatever doctor, whoever said? Is that the limitations you want to live under? Okay, understand that there is power in your agreement. Understand that what you bless will be blessed. Understand that there is a moment in history that never in the world's history have you ever had access to the types of food that you have access to right now. Never in world history. You go to the grocery store and you can get anything you want right now. No one ever in world history has ever had that kind of access except for this generation. But Pastor Jamie, then how in the world did they live in those conditions? Don't curse it. Don't curse it. Don't be dumb. Okay, don't eat junk. Don't, if it doesn't feel good in your body, if you've got allergies, whatever, that's fine. Don't injure yourself. Don't curse it, though. Bless. We start, you know, people come into our house. This is how we finish. Or we start every meal. If it's me saying the praying before the meal or I love that tradition. Anyone else have that tradition? You pray before meals? You ever wonder why you pray before a meal? Like, it's because Jesus did this, right? So I want to be like Jesus, so I pray before meals. So, not really. There's a lot of times I don't. If you ever eat a meal with me, though, what I do is I bless it, and I mean it. See, in our home, when we give thanks, I go, Lord, thank you for this, what you provided for us. Okay, because sometimes, you know, what's on our table, depending on, you know, we have 9 people eating, okay? Sometimes I look at the amount that's there, not because of lack, but there's 9 people, and they're all growing. We eat some food in our house, like, I'm not always confident that there's enough. You know, especially when I can see the kids are like going to go after that. It's not even going to make it to me, okay? So I mean it when I thank the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord, for this food. Lord, we bless it. We declare over this food that it is going to strengthen us. It is going to keep us in good health, that it is going to be what our body needs. We declare the blessing of the Lord over this food, that it is enough. Amen. Everybody eat. You know? Bless. Bless. And the last thing that Jesus modeled, we find it in Mark chapter 10. They were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, and his disciples, though, they rebuked the people. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Okay, that means he was hot under the collar. Okay, upset. He was indignant. He said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." He took them in his arms and he began to bless them. Bless them. Let me take a slight detour from maybe how you've heard this verse interpreted before. Yes, you and I need to approach God as a child. Yes, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you approach God as a child, right? Like, God doesn't have grandkids, he only has kids. You got to become his kid. But there's also this declaration that Jesus makes. He goes, no, the kingdom, the rule and reign, it belongs to the next generation. If you stand in the way, if what God is doing in this generation is not permitted to go to the next generation, heaven forbid it. That if you find yourself hindering the next generation from coming into the reality of the kingdom, that you are actually opposing God's way. Because blessing is supposed to go from one generation to the next. The reason why you are blessed is so the next generations will be blessed. Now, I know I'm going to poke more people in the eye. I already offended the others today. But I'm gonna poke retirement in the eye this morning. And I'm going to propose to you that the system of saving so I can spend it all on myself is not God's design. That the heritage of a generation is that we would grow in godliness and we would grow in his blessing and we would manifest what God's wanting in the earth and that we would then pass it off to the next generation so they would not have to start where we started, but they would start in a greater position. It is the benefit of a father to pass on land to a child. It is the benefit of a father to pass on house and home to a child. These are the inheritances of a family, so a child would not have to make their own way and start over. Listen, it is a goal in the kingdom to set the next generation up for success, not to stand in the way of it. Not to stand in the way of it. Find a way. My proposal to you is that you should find a way to connect your heart to the next generation. Put your heart toward, turn hearts of the fathers, turn towards their kids again. This is a sign of the great and glorious day of the Lord, that the hearts of fathers would turn towards their kids, that we would no longer be just concentrated on us, but we would begin to think generationally. This is a calling and a purpose of God, and it is under your power to bless. You're blessed to be a blessing. The life and the death of a generation, the life and the death of a people, the atmosphere that exists over businesses, over cities, over families, that stuff can be changed by your blessing. Next time you walk into a restaurant, you know, and maybe it feels dark. Next time you walk into a shop, you know, you're like, oh, it's a little bit creepy in here. Okay, just announce. Okay, that's all changing now. I'm here. I bless. I release the blessing of the Lord. Okay, bye, critters. Okay, bye-bye. Wind of heaven on this place. Okay, you got somebody that creeps you out? Awesome. Release the blessing of the Lord and watch the wind of God come over them and watch their countenance change. You want to see who's walking with God? Release your peace when you come into a building and see who it lands on. It'll be a tangible witness. You'll see it. What's on you will go to them. The blessing of God can be transferred. This is your authority. It's your privilege as a priest, as a son of God, as one who ministers in their father's ministry, as a prophetic people, as those who hear from God themselves. We can do this. We'll be right back.